Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Back here on OMF, and we are joined by Chris Sale. Great to see you, Chris.
Thanks. Good to be seen.
How you doing?
Good. Tan.
Good. You. So you get through the bout of walking pneumonia.
Yeah.
You lost a little bit of weight.
A little bit.
Should have called me. I could have helped you put it back on, brother.
If I had a dollar for every time I heard that one.
Well, fat people know how to do that. Get it.
Your problem isn't that you're fat. You're just short.
Oh, is that the problem?
If you were taller, you'd be thinner.
Well, how do I get tall? I'll
ask you 180, if I was like 5'6", 180
is perfect. You know? You'd look like him, but just with the mustache, no full beard.
Yeah, 6.5 feet, 180, that's a tough pull. I'm walking around on stilts. So.
Yeah. So you had a tough year last year. So I got to believe coming in here this past week, you're really looking forward to this season.
Yeah, I think it even started before that, you know, and even throughout the offseason. You know, last year was tough. I mean, you said it. You guys saw it. There's no denying it. There's no hiding from it. But going through things like that, I learned a lot. And you gotta try to take the shining moments. You gotta try to find the things that make you a better player, better person, better teammate. And I did a lot of thinking back on those times, and it made me better. You know, at the end of the day, as tough as it was to watch, you know, and I know all the hoop love, you know, signing a deal in spring training and then getting off to that kind of start and after the World Series, all that stuff. You know, I get it. I understand it. But, you know, I feel like I'm better now than I was then because of going through that.
How about physically? I know a lot of people, Red Sox fans, they watched you and they watched you over the years, and they used to seeing you 96, 98, whatever it might be, hitting 100 once in a while. Mm-hmm. And then last year was a little bit different at times, still getting guys up. But where are you right now physically?
I feel really good. You know, I'm not going to sit here and, you know, blow smoke. You know, I feel good. And, you know, I can sit here and tell you, you know, what I want to do, what I think I'm going to do. But I just got to go do it. You know, I think, you know, I put a lot of work this offseason in here. You know, I live, you know, here in town. So I was coming up here 4 or 5 days a week. You know, didn't travel at all. You know, my wife and I, we had another baby, so, you know, we were kind of locked down to the house. So,
congrats.
Thank you. Yeah, another boy. So, carrying the name strong. But, yeah, I put a lot of work in here with, you know, with the guys in the weight room and in the training room. I mean, hours a day. So, it was exciting. And that's when it started for me. I know the start of spring training is exciting, and that's when, you know, when all the fans get into it. But for me, this really started, you know, last September, October, when that rehab process started.
How about a plan coming into it? I know you can, you know, you get injured, right? I know a couple years back, you're talking about fading maybe down the stretch and you do some things differently. Do you think you have, like, that plan in place, or did the injury sort of, you didn't really sure if that was what would work?
Yeah, I think I just got to get back to the basics. I got to get back to, you know, not really worrying about fading, the injuries, this, that, and the other. I mean, this is sports. Injuries can happen overnight. You can step out of bed, twist your ankle on your night slipper or whatever, a Lego that's left on the ground. You know, you hear stories of guys getting hurt loading, you know, luggage and all this stuff. So injuries happen. This is sports, and even in life, you know, crazy things happen. I'm not worried about that. I'm not worried about, you know, what my track record is or what people are thinking of me or what any of it. You know, I've gotten to a point in my life and in my career where it's a day-to-day process, you know, and I appreciate every single one I got, because I know that this doesn't come for free and this doesn't come easy. So you know, that's where I'm at. You know, it's going to shake out how it shakes out. All I can do is put the work in, put the effort. You know, attitude and effort are two things I learned a long time ago are the only things you can really control, and as long as I got a handle on that, I'll be all right.
So the offseason is going along. You're rehabbing. You're having another child. And then the cheating scandal comes up. Alex Cora, the Red Sox and Alex Cora agree to mutually separate. I just your thought process on where you were. Did you call him right away? Did you know it was coming? Did he call you and ask for advice, being that you're an older guy, a veteran guy, been through a lot? Could you share how that process went with you?
Yeah, he called me quite a bit this offseason, and it just like any other offseason, you know, he keeps in touch really well, and that's you know, one of his admirable attributes. That's why we respected him so much. But yeah, I mean, I remember I got that phone call. I walked out my front door, and I'm talking to him. It was evening. It was dark outside, and you know, he broke it down and told me what the deal was going to be. You know, he wanted to let me know before I read it on ESPN or, you know, Barstool or whatever other media outlet you look at. And, you know, I appreciated that. And it's tough, you know. He's a rare breed where you can walk into a clubhouse and have the respect, keep it light, but also, you know, when it's time to go, it's time to go. So that was
what do you say? Sorry. I mean, it's like, I don't know. What do you say?
Because it affected you in 2017. Yeah. I mean, you talked about it the other day, and you're a guy that if you go out there and you get your ass kicked, that happened, right? But
part of it.
Now looking at it going, damn, I mean, how will they get into that pitch? Now you might have known.
Yeah.
And he was part of that.
Yeah, I mean, but he's also part of me having a big shiny ring in my house. And, you know, those are obviously two separate scenarios, but one of them are going to be passed through generations of my family, and one of them will – drink a little bit too much at Thanksgiving and have a laugh about it. So, you know, and I've said it before. You know, what am I going to do now? You know, there's nothing I'm going to say here in this interview, the next interview, tomorrow, the next day, yesterday, 10 years from now, that's going to change any of it. And like I said, you know, I've learned to get to a spot of appreciation and moving forward. And, you know, at the end of the day, I don't have a time machine. I'm not going back. I can't fix it, can't change it, nor would I. You know, it made me a better pitcher. That day in Houston was one of the lowest times of my entire baseball career. That flat out sucked. Makes you better.
Man, I feel like that some of these days after the show's over, I just want to go have a drink. See, it hasn't made me better yet.
We can't accuse anybody of cheating. But
it didn't surprise me when you said that the other day, because I still go back to you not shaking the catcher at all and never second-guessing after a bad game. Like, you don't second-guess. You don't look back. You just think, whatever, I'll just do it next time.
It's very cliche, but onward and upward.
How is your feeling, though, when you look out there, and there seems to be great confusion? We were talking about this. The analytics of the game. J.D. Martinez brought this point up to us yesterday. The analytics of the game have been ramped up, you know, 15-fold. And so you're going to do the analytics so that you can get an edge. So everybody's going to get an edge out there. Now, hitting the trash cans is well beyond anything, and we all agree with that. And I'm surprised that any of you guys hadn't figured it out at the time, if you're hearing that pounding. But don't the analytics in the game right now open up the door for somebody to get an edge? And then if you don't set parameters, the commissioner doesn't set parameters and say, this is what you can do, and beyond that, you can't do it. If you don't do that, because video is everywhere now, how do you solve the problem?
I just think there's a big gray area with all that, because we're in a time in baseball and sports in the world. Like, go back to 1950 and try to explain Twitter to somebody. They'd call you an idiot. They'd be like, what a waste of time. Who cares what you have for breakfast?
Send a telegram.
And it's like, you know, everyone has their 2 cents now, and it's like, well, I don't need it. Yeah. So there's going to be some figuring out to do, and where that lies, I don't know. I don't have the answers. I don't know if you guys have the answers. And I think it's going to be kind of a rolling thing where we're going to have to kind of figure this out on the fly. You know, it's like preparing for a kid. You don't, until he or she is there, you don't know what the heck to do. You might think you know what to do, but, you know, warming up a bottle at, you know, 3:30 in the morning sounds good on paper until you're doing it for the eighth day in a row. So I just think that we're in a time that we've never been with technology in the world. I mean, I can play Fortnite with somebody in Japan. How wild is that to think of 20, 30 years ago? And the same is true with baseball. I mean, we got spin rate, we got videos, we got all this other stuff. So I think you're right. I mean, I think we're going to have to figure out a way to bring light to the gray areas, and how that happens, I don't know. I'm glad I'm not the one that has to figure that out. But
it's not good to be playing in a sport right now where everybody is going to be labeled cheaters when we don't really have standards.
Yeah, but I think that there are enough people doing it the right way. Just like, you know, I refer to the steroid era. You know, you question everybody, and only God and you know, right? And, you know, for me, I know I sleep just fine at night knowing what I bring to the table and how I go about my business, as well as everybody in that clubhouse. So, you know, it is going to be a sticky situation, and it's probably going to get a little tougher before it gets easier. But that being said, you know, this is, you know, moving the game forward, and this is making people better at a younger age. You know, it used to be you didn't get to the big leagues until you were, what, mid-20s? You spent your time in the minor leagues. You went to single A. You could hit 30 homers in double A, and guess what? You're going to go to triple A, and then and that way. So I think it's helped unbelievably, but there's going to have to be some rules and guidelines to go with that.
So the trash cans is new, but this stuff's kind of been going on for a while, and there always is a day, you know, the way to handle it the right way as a pitcher. Locally, a kid, Danny Picard, wrote a story, showed a video that I saw of you back in 2014 with Victor Martinez in Detroit. You drilled him, then you struck him out, and you're pointing to center field, and you can read your lips, like your guy out in center field. So you've seen this thing before, and in that situation there, you kind of dealt with it. So how did you know what was going on? I'm sure people are talking like they do in the game.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously information that goes around.
But you got him good.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't do anything. He just took his base.
Well, he knew, right?
He just took his base. It was like, meh.
And I'm going to be completely honest with you. I have great respect for that team. I mean, that 2012, 2013, 2014 Detroit Tigers teams, those were some of the best teams I've ever seen. And unfortunately for myself, I was getting my feet wet as a starter in that same division. So that was real fun at times. But yeah, I mean, these things come up, people talk, and you just start doing a little bit of homework, and some things come to light sometimes. And yeah, I mean, I guess the beautiful thing about this game is sometimes you can take it into your own hands, and that's been going on since the beginning of time. I mean, one of the most famous pitchers of all time is Nolan Ryan. Considered arguably the greatest pitcher that's ever walked the planet.
Well,
right
here, Pedro wasn't bad himself when it came.
No doubt. Like I said, arguably, right? So, and he was the king of that. You know, you get a rookie in there with 12 days in the big leagues, and they take this, you know, big swing off them. You better watch your lips, and that's kind of how the game goes sometimes.
So that's interesting, because I kind of like that part of it. But now you got Manfred and, you know, trying to – well, no, it's you handle it, right? And it's – whatever. It is what it is. But it's now there's this, okay, let's protect the Astros. Let's not – if you felt like you were wronged by the Astros, make sure you don't throw at them. Dusty Baker saying the same thing.
It's a money thing. You know, if you got a guy making $105,000, who cares if he misses 3 months of the year? But you're paying a dude $28 million – you got to have him out there, not only because of the money aspect of it, because what he's doing out on the field. So I think, you know, owners now have, and coaching staffs and medical staffs have taken this more on the business side of it and said, hey, listen, you know, the whole policing the game thing was cool when, you know, we're getting hosed out of a couple hundred thousand instead of a couple hundred million. So I think that's how it's kind of turned. And let's be honest, I mean, guys get smoked in the head, that can be bad. It can be bad, and losing vision, possible death, cracking a rib, vertebrae, all these other things. You hit someone in the wrist, they're done for months.
Yeah, but have you changed your philosophy on that then, based on that? Or you still have that mentality when it's needed, you're gonna have to, I guess,
hand
regulate
your business?
I'm here because I don't get fined.
Thanks, Marshawn.
Marshawn is
Let's look at it this way. Suppose you want to brush a guy back. He's crouching too close. You want to brush him back. You hit him, and suddenly the next day you find out MLB's got an investigation going. They want you in New York because they think he happened to be on the Houston Astros, let's say.
Yeah.
They want to talk to you. Does it change anything you do on the mound or what any pitcher does on the mound when you're pitching against the Astros?
I think it changes the competition for sure, because how many times have you seen, like you said, you know, I'm throwing a purpose pitch. I'm not trying to hit this guy, but I'm sorry, but you know, I was facing Miggy during the best years of his career, and that guy was next to impossible to get out. Same as Mike Trout, and you can list names, so on and so forth. So, like, I have to at least try to make him uncomfortable. I have to move his feet. I got to let him know, like, hey, I'm going to come in there, like, be ready. Never would have hit that guy on purpose. Have more respect for that guy than anybody on the planet. It's doing what he did and how he went about his business. But you do that a couple times, umpire rips off his mask, and it's, you know, warnings here, warnings there, and it's like, well, there was absolutely no intent behind any of that. He can even tell you that. But it changes the landscape of the game, because let's say you got to get in there to open this side of the plate up. You get a little bit too far in, it clips a jersey, you're wrong. Well, it's the third inning. I'm supposed to cover seven innings. I got my guys in the bullpen working overtime. I got maybe someone gets sent down because of that act that happened, because we need a fresher arm, we need more innings, blah, blah, blah. So the ripple effect is going to be what you got to pay attention to, because everyone thinks it's just that moment in time, that fine, that instance. But, you know, there's a lot of moving parts to Major League Baseball, and that there's the ripple effect is real.
So I wanted to ask you about a couple of players you've lost in this locker room, guys like David Price, Mookie Betts, Brock Holt, and Rick Porcello, because I know the impact they have in that locker room. Do you think, not just the impact on the field, I'm talking about it on that team, you know, the communication, you know, the talks that you have or they have with other players, how big of a loss is that for you?
Yeah, it's huge, and you can feel it. I mean, seeing Mookie and David and Rick and Brock, I mean, they all brought a certain level of energy. You know, you can't walk into the same room as Brock Holt and not smile. You know, what he did for our team, for our clubhouse, even the city of Boston, he's going to be missed a lot. And, you know, on the field, what they brought to the table, I mean, DP was huge for us, you know, as a starting pitcher, as a leader in the clubhouse. I mean, carried us through a postseason and nailed down a World Series for us. Rick, one of the best leaders I've ever seen, period. And he and I are relatively close in age, and it's weird to think that, you know, I kind of looked up to him in that role and how he could command a room with the things that he would do and the words he would say, and he was respected. So it's tough, but it's part of the game, and you understand it, and like I said, you just got to roll with the punches and keep it moving.
Do you think David Price was maybe misunderstood or maybe treated unfairly? I know it got a little bit hairy there for a while. You were here for a lot of that. I heard him the other day in L.A. say, you know, he made some mistakes. He could have handled things better. But that was a tough time, it seemed like, for him here, as far as just dealing with media.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't want to. I have way too much respect for him and love for him to get too deep into that. But at the end of the day, you can look at his time here, and as a fan of just the game, I don't care what you think of him as a person, as a pitcher, put all that aside. You have to respect what he did on the field for this team, for this organization. He was here for 4 years, went to the postseason three times, won a World Series, and was a Steve Pierce away from driving home in a new Corvette with
MVP. He probably should have.
So you got to respect. I mean, this guy was pitching on short rest. He was pitching through injuries. I mean, you just had that carpal tunnel, surgery. And I don't think people understood the behind the scenes.
I agree. I don't think people saw that.
And I think if they did, it would have been better.
I got one more for you. I remember asking this question, I think it was 2 years ago, and asking you if you ever get pissed off because you never bitched about your pay. You were still operating on a deal from the Chicago White Sox, and you were maybe the most underpaid guy in Major League Baseball. And you came up with an unbelievable answer. You talked about being in your third grade class, and you never thought you'd be in this position. So I fast forward it now because you made good money now. You've got
I'm overpaid.
That wasn't actually the question, but since you answered it that
hey,
way.
Man, I'm sad.
I'm wondering, Chris, if there's not pressure on any of this. Because, you know, you've had some injury situations. You've had difficulty sometimes getting through the end part of the season. Maybe you push it too hard earlier in the season. And people are judged by the fan base based on how much money they make. Do you feel more pressure now when before you could have bitched, you could have forced a team to give you more money than you were making?
No, I operate under the same standards that I've operated from since day one. My paycheck has no effect on what I do on the mound. Obviously, the outcome, the standard, the expectation is different with the contracts and with what you make. But if John Henry or, you know, Haim came down here right now and said, "Yeah, man, we found a loophole. You're gonna make $50 this year." I mean, what am I gonna do? You just go out there and play the
hire
same.
Hire a lawyer.
Yeah. Well, but at the same, I mean, I still have a job to do. I still have teammates relying on me, and I'm still gonna go out there and give it everything I got. I'm cashing that $50. You know, like I've never once stood on a major league field and felt comfort or discomfort because of how much money I was making or how much money I wasn't making. That's not who I am. That's not how I was raised. That's not where I come from. I've always appreciated what I have and not worried about what I don't have. So regardless of this, that, and the other, cars, houses, money, I have a job to do, and I love playing this game. I love competing. So if I'm ever out there on the mound thinking about any of that, it's time for me to take it to the house, because that's not where I need to be.
Always great talking to you. We really enjoy it. We
thanks,
always
guys.
Do when we sit down. We'll do it later on in the season. How's that?
I'm in.
Have a great and healthy season.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
You got it. Chris Sale, right here on OML.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.